You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to get to the Miami Heat's all-decade team, as decided by us. But we'll begin with Udonis Haslem, who re-signed with the Heat Tuesday and will return for his 17th season. David, we've talked a lot on the show, including the last one, about how that final roster spot was reserved for UD and what the Heat could do with it should he retire, but Haslem has claimed his spot, and I think everybody should be happy that he's back, because I know that the Heat are certainly happy that he's back as they start into this Jimmy Butler era.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the fit before, and it seems like it's a perfect one. He's not a contributor on the floor, to be honest with you. I was kind of jarred looking at his statistics from the last few years, and I'm actually writing about this right now, and it's just, he's just hasn't been productive in a long, long time. Every time he gets out on the floor, it seems like it's a special occasion. And obviously, it's more often than not in garbage time, or in the case last year when Eric Spoelstra was trying to find time for him to play alongside Dwayne Wade. But now that Dwayne's gone, UD's still coming back, and you wonder, you know, is he going to be able to make an impact on the floor? And the reality is he's probably not. You know, that's not to say that he couldn't. I think he's physically capable of making an impact. He's just, his game hasn't aged well. He never really had a three-point shot. He takes far too many of them. And it kind of seems like he's just playing around loose out there, just trying to kind of hoist it from three-point range, knowing that he's not really going to be able to knock them down very regularly. But at the same time...
Much of that do you think was because he was playing along Dwayne? Like, we saw a lot of that at the end of this season.
Yeah.
When he was playing with Dwayne Wade. Maybe I'm naive here, but I still think he could contribute a little bit. Now, I don't know how much he could contribute, but you look at the depth behind Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot there. And ultimately, look, I do think that Miami's starting center will be Bam Adebayo, right, and Kelly Olynyk will start in that front court. But Kelly Olynyk will also basically be the backup center, too. I think that what Spoelstra is going to find is some sort of staggering of minutes that allows, I guess, Kelly Olynyk and James Johnson to play together in the quote-unquote second unit. I do think that Kelly Olynyk ultimately ends up as the backup center and the starting power forward. Myers Leonard will play a little bit, but he's not a rim protection presence at all. If you need some muscle, and there are going to be moments where Spo needs some muscle and Bam Adebayo might be in foul trouble or something, I think that he's going to call on Udonis Haslem and at least see what he could do, maybe at the beginning of the year. And if you have to make a move down the line, maybe mid-season, maybe you do it, but I think you're going to he's got to try Udonis. I just don't see a way around it. Like, he's going to have to try Udonis Haslem at some point.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we could have seen the same thing, you know, a couple of seasons ago, you know, before they drafted Bam, you know, when they weren't quite sure what they were getting out of Kelly Olynyk, and you know, Olynyk had been playing the four when he was in Boston, and so I think the assumption was that he'd continue to do so in Miami, but you know, he's been all over the place. Spoelstra hasn't exactly been precise. My feeling is, honestly, that Myers Leonard is going to get the bulk of the minutes. But, you know, this isn't about Leonard. This is about Udonis. And I think he can contribute, whether it's not on the floor, and I don't think it is going to be on the floor. I still think he's going to be a factor because of his locker room presence, because he's going to be the one to kind of keep everything in check when Jimmy gets frustrated, as he's wont to do. And so in order for this locker room to remain harmonious, you kind of need somebody with Udonis's loud presence in the locker room, and I think that's where his greatest impact will be.
Absolutely. And look, we've heard from some people who think that the Heat should be using this roster spot otherwise, whether it be for a young player or somebody who may be able to contribute a little bit more than Haslem on the court. I do think that that's the minority, because after this announcement, the Heat announced that basically they are signing Udonis Haslem. The contract, by the way, is 1 year, $2.6 million, the veteran minimum for somebody that's been in the league for 17 years. Huh. The only Heat player ever to play for the Heat in three different decades, by the way. That's kind of a neat accomplishment. Shout out to Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press for digging up that stat. But it seems that the overwhelming majority of Heat fans, at least in this Twitter bubble and Reddit bubble and social media bubble, seem really happy that Haslem's coming back for this next year. I think that, you know, coming on the heels of Dwayne Wade retiring, he's a little bit of, it's just nice to have him there. You know what I mean? It's just nice to have Udonis Haslem still there, the culture carrier that he is, the guy who represents this the Heat way and has been around for the titles and all these things. It's nice to have him there. I think Heat fans are happy that he is.
I've got to shout out Wes Goldberg, my co-host. You've been on this from the very first, because even though I thought that it would have been a perfect situation for him to retire alongside Dwayne, you can maintain that you kind of had the feeling that he was going to come back, that he wasn't ready to hang it up just yet. And even though he was non-committal, and even though some of the comments he actually made towards the end of the last season seemed to indicate that maybe he was at least mulling retirement pretty considerably, you were pretty steadfast in that he was coming back, and you were right. I got to give you credit for it.
I appreciate that. I mean, I went to Miami in March to interview Udonis Haslem. I talked with him. I talked with some people around him, and I did think, like, after those conversations, I thought that he was coming back. I just didn't think he was ready to hang him up, and why should he be? First of all, he barely plays, and you make a lot more money on the veteran minimum than you do as an assistant coach. So all these people saying, well, honestly, he just moved into an assistant coach. I don't know what assistant coach gets paid $2.6 million a year. None of them. That's the answer. None of them get that much money. So first of all, it makes way more sense from a financial standpoint. Especially, look, he gave up a lot of money to stay with the Heat for a lot of years. We all know the famous one where he turned down, you know, $10-plus million a season to go sign with the Dallas Mavericks during the formation of the Big Three Heat. Instead, came back, re-signed. We know that LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, that they all took less money in order to facilitate Udonis Haslem coming back, but Haslem still took less money. He left money on the table that he could have gotten as a free agent elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And there is a little bit of this, okay, the Familia thing. You take, like, we're going to take care of you now. This is your spot for as long as you want it. Year 15, year 16, year 17, year 18, 19, 20. However, you want to go break Vince Carter's record, go for it. This is this is his spot. He gets this spot, and he earned this spot. He not only did he help win championships, and he helped win those championships. Miami doesn't win all those championships without Udonis Haslem, especially the first one. But
Well, you know, a good point here also is the fact that, you know, one of the things Jimmy's talked about upon joining the team was how they treated Dwayne in his final season, how they kind of welcomed him back, how they made a move to acquire him a couple seasons ago, how they were able to put the perfect ending to his great career in Miami. And I think this is just another one of those moments here where you can say, you know what, Udonis has earned the right to come back as often as he'd like to. I remember Nick Collison was one of those guys that was beloved in Oklahoma City, and even he just chose to retire a couple seasons ago, and Udonis has since played now one and now a second season following Collison's retirement. But, you know, for you know, people around the league, players or other front offices, this kind of just shows you the kind of familial commitment Miami is willing to make, and I think this really does make an impression on players around the league. Maybe it's overstated a little bit, but I really do think it's important to them.
No, you're right. This is the Heat's brand, and it's important to maintain the brand with things like this, and ultimately they're doing the right thing here. And Udonis Haslem, like you just said, helps in the locker room. He's a bigger contributor as that 14th guy than basically anybody else that they could have gotten for a 14th guy in a contract like that. Let's take a break. We'll have the Heat's all-decade team next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. We've got an exciting announcement here on Locked On Heat. Next week is Jimmy Butler week. Over the last month or so, we've connected with reporters who have covered Butler at all of his previous stops to find out just what Heat fans can expect from the team's biggest addition. For all of next week, we will publish those insider interviews, and trust us, you're not going to want to miss a single episode. Check it out and subscribe to Locked On Heat, available everywhere you get podcasts. So, David, in addition to our duties as the humble hosts of Locked On Heat, we also host Locked On NBA once a week. And for this week's Locked On NBA, we got the opportunity to talk about NBA.com's all-decade team. For all of the NBA, you know, over this last decade, so they had a first team, a second team, and a third team. If you haven't listened to that, go check that out on Locked On NBA. You could subscribe and listen to everything over there. We weren't very happy with the list that NBA.com put together, and it wasn't because Kobe Bryant was ranked too low. There's a lot of reasons why we didn't think that list was good. But you had this great idea.
We should note that Dwayne Wade was also chosen as one of the members of the All-Decade team for the NBA.
And he was too low. He should have been over Russell Westbrook. There are some people saying that Russell Westbrook was too low, that he should have been on the first team over Kawhi or something like that. To me, that's insane. Anyway, I don't want to do the Locked On NBA thing again. You had a great idea that we should just do that. We should make our own list that we'd be happy with for Locked On Heat. Now, you made your own list, and I made my own list. And just like the NBA.com list, we have a first team, we have a second team, we have a third team, two backcourt players, three frontcourt players per team. Let's start with the first team, David. And by the way, I think the first team is maybe not the most interesting. I think this gets a lot harder when we start talking about the second and the third team. Just Heat players from the 2009-2010 season to the 2018-19 season. That is what the NBA.com list span went with, and that's what we're going with. So your first team, just go all five. List them off.
All right. My starting five for the first team all-decade Miami Heat squad, Goran Dragic, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Hassan Whiteside.
Yep. That's right. You have to go with Whiteside. You have to go with Whiteside. I don't think the first four are any surprise. I mean, Goran Dragic, four seasons and an all-star appearance. His stats are just far and away better than any other point guard that has played for the Heat. We're talking about over that time period, 18 points per game. I'm sorry, 16.7 points per game. 5.4 assists, 3.8 rebounds. He made an all-star appearance. You have to put him in there. Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Chris Bosh, obviously those guys are on it. We don't have to go into that. Whiteside is the interesting thing because I kept trying to find a way to dodge Whiteside, and maybe that's just my I'm giving up my bias here. But five seasons with Miami in this decade, he is ranked fifth in total points, first in total rebounds, and first far and away in blocks. You kind of just had to put him on here.
Yeah, I mean, one of our issues with the NBA.com list was that the criteria seemed to change depending on whatever the writer felt they wanted to include or whomever they wanted to include. Like, was it production? Was it recency bias? Was it just something that stood out to that person in particular? It was kind of hard to figure out. And so, yeah, you try to skew it a way that you can in order to get Hassan off this list. But the reality is, look, I mean, he was really productive. Even as he was just kind of finding his feet and working his way back into the league, he was blocking shots, getting those triple-doubles, et cetera. He had really big games. You know, those great moments there when Chris Anderson was coming off the bench or when Chris Anderson was starting and then Hassan was kind of figuring his way out into the starting role when Chris was still healthy. Chris Bosh, that is, was still healthy. You know, those were fun moments, seeing Hassan kind of be this unexpected impact player. And, you know, obviously he wasn't making a lot of money, and so he was far and away one of the best value players in the league. That changed in his third season, obviously, once he signed a huge contract and he suffered some injuries, kind of struggled to adjust as the league changed more and more to, you know, dependency on the three-point game. So that was a little tough, but he still had an impact. I mean, he was still blocking the
He could change games in a way that nobody else that made my second or third team really could change games. Maybe with the exception of one or two players, but at his peak, he would win the Heat basketball games. And there was a lot of times where he was not winning the Miami Heat basketball games, and maybe you could argue even costing them key minutes and for key stretches of important games. But he played five seasons with the Heat in this decade, which is more than LeBron and Dragic have played. The production is absolutely there, and again, like, he put his mark on a lot of games, especially those first two or three years, in a way that warranted him being included on this first team. By the way, this is not above other centers. We're not putting Whiteside on here above Chris Anderson and Amari Stoudemire and end of list. We're putting Hassan Whiteside up here over other front court players. That's talking about three front court players. LeBron and Chris Bosh were obvious ones. I tried to find a way where you could just make Chris Bosh the nominal center of this group because I still think of that way, even though I don't have to. But, you know, I was like, do you put Shane Battier? Could you argue Josh Richardson?
But yeah, there was nobody else that matched
Luol
that
Deng's 1 year. Yeah, like it was. Whiteside was the only front court guy on here. But let's go into the second team because I think that's a lot more interesting. We're not going to list all five. Let's start with your backcourt.
For the second team, I've got Josh Richardson and Mario Chalmers.
So that's your backcourt. Josh Richardson you had as a backcourt player. Would you be upset with me if I told you I had Josh Richardson as my frontcourt player because he played forward for a lot of times?
I do not. I'm that's fine.
Okay, that's okay. Okay. That's all right. Okay. So I've got Mario Chalmers and Ray Allen on my second team.
Interesting. Okay.
I think Mario Chalmers is that, like, six seasons. He won two championships. He's sixth in points for the Heat during that span, third in minutes played, and he's Mario freaking Chalmers. Do you need to add anything else to that, or...
You know, I think we kind of overlooked the fact, you know, he did play in 2009 also. You know, he that was his second season in the league. He wasn't much of an impact player, although he did start, you know, a number of games then. I think we all saw him come up big in big moments, and he was a great supporting cast player. And unfortunately, his career didn't end in Miami the way it probably should have, but he had some great years here. So I think he's absolutely earned his place in the second team all-decade team.
So then why, I mean, I had Josh Richardson as one of my front court players. So you didn't have Ray Allen on your second team. I'll defend my Ray Allen pick. I know he only played two seasons. He did win a championship. He had that one big shot. And I do value the ultimate, like, I value those consequential things more than anything. And everybody after he made that shot in game six of the 2013 NBA Finals against the Spurs to save that season for Miami, everybody came out and said he just earned his contract. That was all, like, that is why you sign Ray Allen. And to me, that peak, that hitting the greatest shot ever in NBA Finals history, with the consequences of that shot alone gave him a spot on my second team. And that's, I had to include him. I couldn't put him anything lower than the second team.
Well, to me, it's just about the breadth and totality of their tenure in Miami. You know, obviously, Ray only played two seasons. They were great ones. He was very productive. And, of course, the shot, you know, is paramount to anything else. But come on. I mean, Mario had some really, really good seasons. Josh had some really, really good seasons during the regular seasons. And you know, Mario did hit big shots in the finals and during the playoffs.
Yeah. Josh never had
that
list.
Opportunity. No, I know. Josh never really had that opportunity. I mean, to me, I think it was more about the 200 some other games that they played during their 10 years in Miami. So that's why I...
Well, we know that you hate championships. You, like, if it were up to you, the regular season would just end. And then that would be it.
That's
everybody.
All you need 82 games. How much more do you need after that? Come on.
Ray Allen, 10.3 points, 1.8 assists, 2.8 rebounds. So like, I am conceding that he didn't put up the most stats. He didn't have the greatest volume there in Miami, but just that shot. I think it comes down to who you put in your front court. Because I had Josh Richardson in my front court. You didn't. You had Josh Richardson in your back court, which is fine. Right. Who else was in your front court? Because that's the difference, I think.
For me, it's Justice Winslow, James Johnson, and Luol Deng.
Wow. So Justice Winslow and James Johnson did not make either any of my teams.
Really?
Yeah. So why give me the argument, give me the elevator pitch, Justice Winslow and James Johnson for your second team?
I think it's not necessarily based on playoff experience. I think they had more productive. Yeah. Well, I think they've just had many. Look, I mean, Justice is entering his fifth season with the Heat now. He's had four really good seasons, one's, you know, shortened by injuries. But for the most part, he's just been overall more productive. I mean, yes, you're right.
8.9 points per game, 5.3 rebounds, 2.7 assists. It just didn't do it for me.
I mean, I think it's the versatility on defense. And I think, you know, the last season has been pretty spectacular. And
yep.
I think there's maybe it's a lot like the Giannis Antetokounmpo selection in the NBA.com squad. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to...
But what even Giannis made the third team in the all-decade team for the entire NBA. You're putting Justice on your second team. So basically what you're saying is Justice is going to be better than Giannis. It kind of sounds like that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the case. I mean, I'm curious who what you about have Shane? On your...
I had Shane Battier and I had Udonis Haslem.
Yeah, you know, again, Udonis, we're looking at the first few years. Like, his production during the Big Three era wasn't all that great.
No.
I don't know why you would include him there other than, well, he's Udonis Haslem and you have to love
that's
him.
Mostly that's mostly it. That
yeah,
mostly
and that's fair. But and Shane, like, isn't Shane...
He is also the only, by the way, Haslem is the only player who qualified to play the entire decade with the Heat. I gave him points for that he was the only player on this list who did play the entire decade with this team.
This is an ode to Ben Golliver's availability being the best ability?
That's exactly it. Shane Battier I had on there because of how important he was. I mean, the Heat didn't win the first championship of their Big Three era until they signed Shane Battier. That, to me, matters. That, to me, really matters. I mean, he was eighth in the decade, despite only playing 3 years with Miami, eighth in three-pointers made.
That's pretty
in
good.
An era that more and more valued the three-point shot. His ability to stretch the floor from the four, get LeBron, or the three, or however you want to say it, because he got LeBron James not to guard other fours because he didn't want to after that first season in Miami. Shane allowed him to do that. To me, Shane unlocked a lot of what made LeBron James so good in Miami, so I put him on my second team for that.
I'm convinced. I'm changing my list as we speak right now. Justice is off, bumped down to the third team. Shane Battier. I miss Shane. He was fantastic. He was willing to do it all.
Yeah, he's still with the Heat. Let's take a break. You're listening to Locked On Heat. With the NFL season around the corner, you're not going to want to miss the new look Locked On NFL podcast with expert analysis from former NFL scout Matt Williamson and host Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily podcast on all things NFL. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get podcasts. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts if you're on iTunes. Rate us, review us, say nice things about us. David, your third team is?
My third team is probably going to be just as debatable as my second team. It's starting backcourt there is Tyler Johnson and Ray Allen. And then the front court is...
Wait. So you had Tyler Johnson and Ray Allen with the backcourt. We'll start there. I had Tyler Johnson also.
Okay.
I had Norris Cole.
Hey, it's a fine choice. I mean,
I was split between Norris Cole and Dion Waiters.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a hard time with that, but ultimately I went with Norris Cole because he won two championships. So well, I don't know. I was I'm splitting. Production wise, they're right about the same.
Okay. I mean, how many games did Norris Cole play in while he was with the Heat?
He played in. Look, I'm willing to listen to any argument for Dion Waiters over this, but he played in 274 games. Dion played in 120. And I shouldn't have said that the production is basically the same. Dion was 14 points per game and 3.6 assists. Norris Cole was 6.2 points per game and 2.6 assists.
It's hard not to like Norris because he was Cleveland State. Nobody even knew what the hell their team name was.
I mean, forget it. I'm putting Dion Waiters on there. I don't know why. It seems weird to me to have put Dion Waiters. I'm changing it. Dion Waiters is on there. I should have stuck to my guns, but I'm not. Dion Waiters is on the list. He won no championships. He's barely played for the Heat. But I mean, he did hit that one shot against Golden State, so I guess...
Yeah, and Brooklyn. Sorry, game winners.
But Brooklyn. Yeah.
You know, the whole thing about championships, like Norris Cole, he wasn't really much of an effect.
No.
Yeah. It's not like we won the two rings because of Norris's, you know, excellent defense on Indiana's backup point guard. I don't even know who was backing up George Hill at that point in time.
Yeah. Patty
Mills.
No love.
I mean, his work against Patty Mills in the 2013 finals, that's really the deciding factor.
No love for Shabazz Napier. Remember Tony Douglas?
The Bulldog. Going back to the Heat check days. Yeah, I mean that was
that is going back to the Heat check days. So I don't think so. Because you moved Josh Richardson into the guards. Okay, so we basically had the same. I had one more guard than you did because I included Josh Richardson as a front court player as opposed to a backcourt player. Who was your third team front court?
Well, I had Shane Battier before. Now it's Justice Winslow. It's also Kelly
you
Olynyk.
Moved Shane up to your second team, so now you have Winslow on your third team. Okay.
It's also Kelly Olynyk.
Oh.
And Bam Adebayo.
So you have Justice, Olynyk, and Bam.
Yes. Basically, our starting front court now it is.
Yeah, I don't have I don't have a problem with the Justice. I kind of have a problem with Bam and Kelly. I don't understand how you could include them. What have they done?
Well, they've been both much more productive than Udonis Haslam has over the last nine years.
Oh, stop. Don't even bring Udonis Haslam into this. He deserves it. Wait, you didn't have Haslam on any of your teams.
That's right. You did. That's
How could
the difference.
You not have Haslam on your team?
Because he's...
Are you kidding?
Because he's not a much of a player, because he's a fine locker room presence, but he's not...
Yes.
Like, this was our argument in the first segment. Like, Udonis should have been there... He is basically an assistant coach. He's going to play he's going to play a handful of games. I mean, single digits. And he's averaging under 7 minutes per game. Come on, it's not like we care anymore what he does out in the court, other than his nice.
I mean, he's still eighth among all qualifying players in minutes played for the Heat. It's not like he didn't play at all in the decade. He played 7,709 minutes. That's more than Tyler Johnson, more than Justice Winslow, more than Norris Cole, more than James Johnson, more than Luol Deng, more than Shane Battier, more than Joel Anthony, more than Ray Allen. All these guys. He's played more than Kelly Olynyk. He played more minutes than Dion Waiters, more minutes than Bam Adebayo. Played more minutes than all those guys. Granted, it was over 10 years, but he's the only guy who played 10 years for the Heat. He played the entire decade with the Heat. He has to get something, a third team nod for that. Can I convince you?
No.
Okay, fine. My third team was Mike Miller.
Oh, wow.
Lou Aldang.
Okay.
And Chris Anderson, the Birdman. Had to give him a nod. Yeah.
Well, do you think Chris Anderson is a better player? Like, struggling to catch his breath?
He did something. He did something with the Heat. Bam Adebayo and Kelly Olynyk have not done anything with the Heat. What? And okay, by the way, James Johnson has not done anything with the Heat either yet.
Okay, all right, that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, I mean, what did Chris Anderson do? What did Chris Anderson do?
He won a championship.
Oh my God, he was on the roster. That's not him winning a championship. That's him being there at the right time, at the right place. I mean, come on.
He was the sixth man on the best version of the Heat we had ever seen. That 27-game win streak started because of Chris Anderson. Just like my Ray Allen pick on the second team, which
I'll
didn't
tell
sound you, like
you
had an issue
Chris
with.
Chris Anderson's best contribution during Miami was starting off the Harlem Shake video. That's it. After that, it's all down.
Fine. He gets in for that, too, based on who else is getting... If it's Harlem Shake versus no Harlem Shake, in the case of Bam Adebayo and Kelly Olynyk, I give it to the guy who started the Harlem Shake video. But he was a big reason why they were able to get into that 27-game win streak. He was a big reason for that. Oh, come on.
No.
They don't win 27 games in a row without Chris Anderson. They don't do it.
I'm pretty sure that having LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne there was
obviously more important. It was more important, but that's why they were on my first team.
This is like the argument we're hearing now. It's like, well, what's going to happen with the Warriors without Andre Iguodala? It's like, yeah, I can understand the argument. You know, Iguodala is a far better player than Chris Anderson ever was. Like, Chris Anderson, if you forget, he came in there, he was out of shape, he was sucking wind in his first five minutes. Like, he would get a block, and then he would pretty much be checked out. But it was like an inspirational block, and then LeBron was like, hey, this motherfucker is playing hard. I got to play hard, too. And next thing you know, now he's scoring 30 points in a row.
Next thing you know, they win 27 games in a row. That matters to me. Like, I'm splitting hair. I'm trying to find a reason to put anybody on the third team. I found a reason for Chris Anderson. I still don't know what the reason for Kelly Olynyk or Bam Adebayo is to have it on the All-Decade team. Like, neither of them have done anything. Neither of them has done anything.
I think they've just been more productive during their 2 years here. Like, Anderson played as many games as Olynyk has. He's been steady. He's been a fine player. Adebayo is versatile. He's had better moments. Like, okay, how about this? If you inject...
Bam Adebayo has had no moments.
If you inject Bam Adebayo into the Big Three era and sign him right in late 2012, would he have had just as much of an impact as Chris Anderson? I'd say
probably.
So. Yeah, I'd say
probably,
so.
Probably, but he didn't... But he
was 14 at the time. So let's hold it against him as a player, in person. Okay.
Well, yes, this is the All-Decade team. What did you do that decade? Bam Adebayo hasn't done anything.
Congratulations to Chris Anderson for your perfectly timed drug suspension that kept you out of the league.
Yes.
Just so you could re-sign in 2012. And I happen to love Chris Anderson as a player and as a reclamation project. But at the same time, come on, his impact was minimal at best.
Were we both wrong not to include Joel Anthony on this list?
I thought about it. I mean, I don't think you're going to get a bigger supporter, Joel Anthony. But I just couldn't make the argument. Again, it's like right place, right time. He was great, good versatile defender, you know, nice rebounder. But come on, that's about it. And even that was like, I mean, they made Zydrunas Ilgauskas look good at the end of his career. I don't know that I would necessarily give him any consideration to make the All-NBA team.
Almost put Okara White on there. I'm just kidding. That's it for us. Look, I think that you and I had very different lists. We're going to include the list along on Twitter so you guys could review it. Let us know what you think. Who did we miss? Whose list was more right, David's or mine? Let us know what you think. I think this was a lot of fun. And maybe, you know, if we get a lot, give us your comments and we'll read your comments and we'll react to your comments on Friday's email and mailbag episode. So please send that over. But for now, that's it for us today. You can connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back on Friday with that mailbag. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me, David.
I'm surprised you didn't have Jermaine O'Neal on there.